This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihudahu wa ba'd. Dearest listeners, we are speaking about the rights of oneself and what a person actually owes his or her body. We had spoken about food, the type of food, the amount of food, and the health factor, the fact that a person owes himself or herself rest, the right amount of rest at the right time, and the fact that we are not allowed to overburden ourselves. It is actually a sin to overburden ourselves, you know, to work long hours unnecessarily and not offer this body rest that it actually deserves. Similarly, about medication and the fact that it is an Islamic duty to seek medication and cure for the illnesses that this body might be going through. We would like to speak of another right that this body has over us, and that is purification. It is very important that we realize that each person is responsible to do as much as he or she is able to in order to purify the body and the soul from all impurities, ills, as well as evils. And this includes the physical, social, and spiritual aspects. Now, regarding the physical hygiene and cleanliness, obviously there are books which are written on the topic of tahara and cleanliness in the sharia, you know, when it comes to ghusl, having a bath, wudu, etc. That you will have to read those books, specialized books on tahara. And inshallah, may Allah grant us benefit, may He make us from amongst those who are always, you know, physically clean and who are always maintain a high level of hygiene. Regarding the social aspect, mashallah, we are in the process of speaking about the social aspect of one's life. And when it comes to spiritual purification, this is what we will dwell on for a few moments. It can only be achieved by submitting and surrendering to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, staying away from all prohibitions and fulfilling as much as possible of the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on our shoulders. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually said, "That which I have prohibited, stay away from it. And that which I have ordered and commanded, do as much as you are able to." And obviously this means that that which is farad and has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot leave out those things. But when it comes to the other commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are not farad or wajib, such as the sunnah and nafil, we should do as much as we can. Now, if we mention in point form a few of the duties regarding purification, some of the great scholars have actually spoken about these points. The first is to distance oneself from false and baseless beliefs. This is by far the most important right that this body has over you. Secondly, to keep away from consuming that which is haram or doing that which is haram. This is how you will achieve purification, spiritual purification. Thirdly, fulfilling compulsory deeds first and then sunnah and nafil as much as possible. Next, to make sure that a person has a good and pure intention upon doing all deeds, bearing in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, which means definitely all deeds will be judged by their intentions. Then we also need to recite the Holy Qur'an on a daily basis, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the Qur'an according to one's capacity and strength. And the recitation includes trying to understand the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, putting them into practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do that. Then we have the verses of the Qur'an and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should indeed have an impact upon us. The true believers are described in the Qur'an as those whom, when the verses of the Qur'an are read, then their hairs will actually stand up and their skin, you know, it is felt on the skin that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is being read to us. Then as well, to maintain purity of the transactions and the dealings, you know, our day-to-day dealings, our business, no matter whom we are speaking to, those who work for us, those who we are working with, or those whom we are working for, we should always maintain purity in our speech, in our transactions, in our dealings. And the dealings, especially the business dealings, should never contradict the Sharia, which is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should understand, at times there are a lot of haram things that go on in various societies. You know, people sometimes begin to eat interest without even being bothered. If we are going to eat even a little bit of haram, what happens according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the body, the flesh of the body that will grow, or that will, you know, the resultant flesh from that which we have consumed, which is haram, will not be allowed to enter Jannah. It has to go into Jahannam and burn out. And when those particular places where the haram flesh has grown have been burnt, then only will this person be allowed to go into Jannah. And let's ask ourselves a question for a moment. Can we even stand, you know, a little flame on our baby finger? We cannot stand that. So if we cannot stand that, let us understand that to stay away from the prohibitions in order to protect ourselves from the fire of Jahannam is very, very important. Those who may have consumed haram, engage in tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all, and whatever amounts were involved, we need to compensate them, we need to give them out back into sadaqah to the poor Muslims. The next point is we need to fulfill the compulsory rights of other human beings as well as all creatures. We need to be good to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to fulfill the rights of all human beings and creatures. And inshallah, we will go into a few details of the rights of fellow human beings as well as the rights of the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are not even human. And then we need to ensure that we are in good company at all times. And good company is that which does not involve in prohibitions, that which does not involve in backbiting, slandering, false accusation, you know, taking of drugs, consuming of alcohol, does not engage in zina, etc. The speech of your friends, the way they speak, they must have good speech. You know, if they don't speak well, meaning if they use foul language, you should try and remind them. And if that foul language is brushing off onto you, then you need to change your company for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sake of the purification of your own soul and your own self. So bear in mind one of the most important factors that you owe this particular body of yours that Allah has granted you is that you do not allow it to go into bad company and to get into the wrong company. You must grant it the best company possible. This is a duty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on your shoulders, and He will ask you on the day of Qiyamah that who were you with and who were your friends. In fact, there is a verse on the first page of the 19th juz where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the oppressors and the fact that they will say on the day of Qiyamah, O Allah, we should have, you know, not taken such and such a person as a friend, because definitely they have led us astray after the guidance actually came to us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good company. Remember, don't be shy to stay away from people who are bad, because if you are going to be shy, maybe one day you might also become bad, and maybe it might have a bad influence on your own children. So this is something we need to remember. Similarly, constantly we need to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that He is watching us, the fact that He can see, the fact that He is all-knowing and all-watching, omnipresent. We need to understand this of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feel it. You know, many a times people would hide behind locked doors, close the curtains, and then commit sin. But they should understand the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously our Rabb, the one who has created us, the Creator, is always there. He is always watching. So no matter whom, in terms of human beings, we try to hide from, we will never be able to hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those of us who have engaged in the past in sin, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Remember one thing, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the next point, in order to purify one's soul and oneself, we should never allow others to be harmed or hurt in any way through our own speech and our actions. This is something very important. Sometimes, you know, we tend to fulfill the rights of people, but we are not concerned about how they feel when we speak. Sometimes you may say something that is actually correct, but the manner in which you have said it is incorrect. So we are taught that when you want to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to tell people what is right, you want to tell people what is wrong, you must choose an appropriate time and you must choose appropriate language to speak to the people so that they are convinced and they come into the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly. At times, the way we speak to people, you know, we turn them further away from deen and further away from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to remember, don't ever make people lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is a deed of shaitan. Shaitan is the one who makes people lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something very important. Do not hurt others through your speech or your actions. And when we say actions here, we are also speaking of, you know, throwing a banana peel on the passage, or, you know, so someone might come after you and slip, or throwing litter around, disturbing the environment. This is something very important. We need to abstain from this type of behavior. Similarly, you know, throwing rocks and other harmful objects onto the road which may disturb people. This is something which is un-Islamic. In fact, Islam teaches us, you would like to achieve purification, then when you see a harmful object on the road, you should actually remove it so that it does not harm others. إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. According to the hadith, the removing of a harmful object from the road is actually a category from amongst the categories of iman. So let us understand this. We should not harm others through our speech and actions in any way whatsoever. And the next point is, we should always be concerned with our own personal weaknesses and their rectification. And this should keep us away from engaging and involving in the weaknesses of other people. Obviously, we all are meant to be watching ourselves 24 hours of the day, and we are meant to be looking into ways of improving ourselves. If we are going to spend time worrying about other people and speaking about them and, you know, gossiping about them, saying this person has done this and that person has done that and this person shouldn't have done that and shouldn't have done this, then obviously we are not watching ourselves. We need to watch ourselves 24 hours of the day. So if we are watching others, then definitely we haven't been fair on our own selves, we haven't been watching ourselves. This is something very important. Someone might say, well, when do we remind others to do good? Yes, it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that all Muslimin and all the believers should remind one another of what is right and what is wrong. But it must not make you go around to a third party that is not involved in any way and, you know, speak and backbite and gossip and slander. That will be a major sin, and one will not be able to achieve purification if they go around in this manner. What we need to do when we see something wrong, someone has done something wrong, we should go to them and speak in the most polite manner, and we should try and rectify the issue and the problem. If we cannot speak to them directly, we should go to someone who has authority over them, either a parent or an elder brother or a relative or someone of that sort, someone of that nature, maybe even a school teacher, and we should speak to them and ask them to rectify the problem. This is how, inshallah, we will develop a society that will be an exemplary society. This is how, inshallah, we will be able to live in a society that is full of harmony and peace, and a society that is very high in terms of spirituality. The last point we are going to mention here is to engage in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, and to seek, you know, all forms of goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protection from all forms of evil. Sometimes days go past. Have we made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we asked Him to meet, you know, to help us meet our needs? And have we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us? Have we thanked Him for what He has given us? And have we asked His protection from the evil that is going on around and from all forms of evil that we can see and that which we cannot see? So this is extremely important. Now, mentioning a few more rights, we've actually spoken here about food, we've spoken about rest, we've spoken about medication, and now we've spoken about the purification of oneself. I'd like to mention a few more points in this program, a few more rights, and sometimes we may have overlooked these rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand. We should understand that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that speaks of tahara and cleanliness actually states, At-tuhuru shatrul iman, which means cleanliness is half of your iman. That's according to one narration. Now, one might think, look, how can cleanliness be half of iman? If we are to ponder very carefully, we are only thinking of the physical cleanliness and, you know, the fact that I need water, I need soap, I need this, I need that, and I must wash myself, keep myself neat and clean and smart at all times. That is only one single aspect of cleanliness. We have, besides that, besides the physical cleanliness, we have something known as spiritual cleanliness. We spoke about it today. We have mental cleanliness. We need to clean our minds of evil thoughts, of bad ideas, of haram items. We are not allowed to let them go into our minds in the first place. We should tackle them and fight them off. Then we have social cleanliness, and we have been speaking about social cleanliness as well. How we live with one another, how we live in society, how we live with the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to maintain a very clean relationship with everyone, human being as well as the other creatures. Then there is environmental cleanliness, obviously, when it comes to the trees, the grass, when it comes to the other aspects of the environment around us, it is our duty that we maintain a clean attitude towards the environment as well. And we have also, if we can term it, financial cleanliness. You know, all our transactions, our business dealings must be according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot afford for a split moment to be found on the other side of the law, on the wrong side of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I've just mentioned a few more points of this cleanliness. We could go on speaking about how this tahara and cleanliness extends into all the different faculties and all the different departments of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the great words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a very important point is, when it comes to this body of ours, it's amazing how when we dress, we don't realize at times that this body, we owe it appropriate dressing and cover. What this means is, the body requires that we cover it. It is our duty placed on our shoulders to cover the body appropriately. If we do not cover the body appropriately, then that body will stand against us on the day of Qiyamah and say, Ya Allah, I wanted to be covered, but this person did not cover me correctly. So let us not be found, as I said, on the other side or the wrong side of the law. Always understand, what is your duty? Fulfill it, and you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you happiness, insha'Allah, in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. And we need to understand also that the eyes that we have, they have rights over us. And what is the right of the eye? The right of the eyes is that we owe the eyes the fact that we will protect them from looking at haram, subhanAllah. So the eyes have a right over you, and that is, you must protect those eyes from looking at that which is forbidden, unlawful, and haram. Obviously, if a person happens to, you know, glance at something that is haram, they must drop their gaze as soon as possible for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find your spiritual levels going up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all elevated spiritual levels. So the eyes also, you owe your eyes something, and that is protection. We don't want these eyes to come on the day of Qiyamah and bear witness against us to say, Ya Allah, this person used me to look at haram. May Allah protect us. And the same applies to the other faculties of the body and the other organs of the body. Let's say the hands, for example. You owe your hands protection from holding, touching, feeling that which is haram. You are not allowed to feel, to touch, to hold those things which are haram. That is a duty you owe even your hands, subhanAllah. So yes, it is our duty. But over and above that, these hands might bear witness for us or against us on the day of Qiyamah. As we know in Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. On that day, we will seal their mouths, and their hands will speak out to us, and their legs will bear witness against them regarding what they have been earning. So this is a very important verse. We learn from it that even our hands will be speaking for us or against us on the day of Qiyamah. When it comes to our legs, for example, we are prohibited. We owe these legs the fact that we will protect them from walking towards the places that are haram. This is something very, very important, which most of us don't even understand. And when it comes to your hair, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us hair on our heads. When it comes to the sisters, let us understand, it is a duty. The hair, you owe the hair something. And you owe it the fact that it will be covered and it will be looked after. It will be combed. It will be cleaned. And if necessary, it may even be oiled according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith says, whosoever has hair should look after that hair, protect that hair. Imagine if we are to walk out with our hair, you know, beautiful hair, and we walk into the public with that hair. That hair is speaking to us. It tells us, look, it is my right over you that you cover me. You are leaving me naked. Why are you doing this to me? The hair is speaking to us, but we cannot hear that hair on the day of Qiyamah. We don't want that hair to bear witness against us to say, Ya Allah, this person left me naked and did not cover me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When it comes to males as well, it is the duty of the males to look after their hair, to comb and clean the hair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to understand this. So these are all rights that your body has over you, and we need to fulfill these rights. In fact, I'm going to end with a very, very important right that this body has over you. It is something that we wouldn't even have believed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have spoken about. But remember, there is nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to deen. And the right that I'm going to speak about, and I'm going to end with this right, is that whenever you would like to use the toilet, it is Islamically your duty that you do so as soon as possible without unnecessarily holding back, subhanAllah. The reason is this body is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are going to hold back what is meant to come out, then it may result in different types of sickness which will affect your body adversely, and you will not do your body any good. The body will hold it against you on the day of Qiyamah. And let's understand something else as well, that when it comes to passing wind also, it is Islamically incorrect to hold it back unnecessarily such that you begin to suffer gastric problems, etc. This is something that we need to understand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught this to us, and many a times people take this for granted. They feel that, you know, it is something that we should not even be speaking about. No, there is nothing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forgotten to teach us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand that when it comes to rights over oneself, it is so broad that no religion has ever taught such teachings, beautiful teachings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to adopt what has been said. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahu wa ba'd. Dearest listeners, inshallah, we will be discussing the rights of neighbors. We should understand that apart from one's spouse, the parents, the children and relatives, there also exists a permanent association of contact with one's neighbors. And this association plays a major role in influencing the entire life of a person. This is why Islam has made it clear the manner in which each person should be with his or her neighbors. And being a good neighbor and fulfilling the required rights is actually declared by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a condition of iman and of faith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exclaimed in one hadith, he says, by Allah, he is not a true believer. By Allah, he is not a true believer. He repeated this thrice. He was asked, whom, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, the one whose neighbors do not feel secure from his mischief and evil. And this is why to have a good neighbor is actually a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are going to be good neighbors, then it is a sign of iman. The question is, who are neighbors? Let us understand that though the term neighbor commonly refers to those who live next to and around our house and our home, we should bear in mind that even at work or at school or in the masjid or at a gathering or even just on the road, those who are traveling next to us or with us or around us, we have a duty towards all those categories. They are all regarded as neighbors of a different level. And we should not cause any form of harm or difficulty to them in any way, nor should we offend them, you know, verbally or in any other way at all. In fact, we should extend as much help as we can as Muslims. It is a requirement that we help as much as we can when they are in need of that particular help. Let's take a look, for example, at the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually said, whosoever has eaten fresh onion or garlic should not come near the masjid until he rinses his mouth thoroughly. And obviously this is because if he does come to the masjid, he will offend a lot of people with that smell, and he will harm and disturb those next to him in the masjid. So this includes obviously harming the angels. From this hadith we see that to offend those who are next to us at any time or place is not acceptable in Islam. So as Muslims, we are meant to be those who are conscious of what they do, how they appear, and even how they smell, so that they do not offend those who are next to them at all times, subhanAllah. Nowadays what happens, and I'm just going to speak on this for a moment because it is a reality, those who smoke, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the ability to leave this very bad habit, those who smoke, unfortunately, sometimes they would come into the masjid not realizing that the smell of smoke is worse than that of onions and garlic, and they have smoked, you know, so many cigarettes, they would walk in. In fact, even if they had to shake your hand, you know, your hand, you would smell it for half an hour or an hour after that, you know, of smoke and cigarettes. If they had to stand next to you in salah, you would actually be affected to a great degree. There are times when myself, I find it difficult to stand next to certain people because you lose concentration in salah because of the offensive smell. Wallahi, what we need to do is cut down on smoking before we come to the masjid. And if we have been smoking, we need to go into the wudu place and we need to rinse our mouths. We need to wash our hands with soap and then come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we don't disturb the angels firstly, as well as the other musallis who might be around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In fact, I can even go a step further. Those who do smoke, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon them and their wives. Those whom you live with, subhanallah, do we not feel for a moment how they must be having to put up with so much just to live with us because of this bad habit that we have? The smell, in fact, we can call it a stink. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So it is our duty as Muslims to ensure that we don't harm those who are next to us, those who are around us at any given time. If we study this carefully, we will understand that, you know, in fact, if we study what we are speaking about on this topic of neighbors, we will understand that the term neighbor is so broad that according to what you are speaking about, it would actually be understood in that manner. For example, every suburb has a neighboring suburb, and that would be regarded as a neighboring suburb, as well as every city and every country has a neighboring country. So the rule that we have just been speaking about applies in each case. And since it is obviously most common that, you know, the neighbor is the neighbor of the home and the property, we will actually speak about or dwell on this for a moment. Let us take a look at the categories of the neighbors of the home that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about. He says there are three categories of neighbors. The first is the one whose rights must be fulfilled as a neighbor. The second is the one whose rights must be fulfilled as a neighbor and as a Muslim. And the third is the one whose rights must be fulfilled as a neighbor, as a Muslim, and as a relative of ours, subhanAllah. So those are the three categories. And this shows that a non-Muslim neighbor also enjoys the rights of being a neighbor. And a Muslim neighbor enjoys both the rights of being a neighbor as well as that of being a Muslim. And a neighbor who is a relative enjoys all three rights, that of being a neighbor as well as a Muslim as well as being a relative. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to fulfill these rights. Now let us go straight into the question, what are the rights of the neighbors? Firstly, we have learned from the clear ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should not harm them. That is the first right. We should not oppress them, and we should not even create a sense of fear within them, you know, regarding evil or mischief on our part. And we have already mentioned one hadith in this regard. Now this includes disturbance, you know, in the form of, say, noise, for example. Sometimes what happens, we are listening to the radio, we are listening to Quran, that which is beneficial, but the volume is so loud that we are disturbing our neighbors. They might be asleep, they might be busy trying to concentrate, doing something else. We are not allowed to disturb them with our noise. I have spoken here of halal, something that is halal that you are listening to, but the volume is wrong. What if that was actually something haram? You would firstly be prohibited to be listening to that particular item, and secondly, the volume would also be wrong. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand that even if you are listening to Quran, which is actually something very virtuous, if the volume is wrong, you may be just sinning in the process. Similarly, when it comes to smoke, we should make sure that, you know, we don't allow smoke to go towards the neighbors intentionally from our yard or from our property. What happens sometimes is, you know, we have leaves or we have the rubbish and we want to burn it. So we just light a fire without even considering and thinking, you know, where is the smoke going and what is going to happen. When the smoke actually goes into the next door yard, they will probably be cursing you from head to toe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And this is why Islam has not forgotten anything. We are actually taught, you want to light a fire, you are causing smokes, be careful as to where it is going. You've got to go to the neighbor and seek his permission. Now we've spoken about the bad smells. On the other hand, even the good smells, you know, let's say, for example, a person is lighting a braai, and mashallah, you know, the beautiful scent of, you know, meats being braaied, going to the neighbors, it's not fair. You know, you make them wish, to be honest with you. And what would actually be better is for you to send a piece or two, you know, a little bit more or less, to them so that they can also feel that they were part and parcel of it. And then the next time they smell that particular smoke, they will actually look forward to a chunk or two of the meat that you've been frying. So this is something Islam has taught us, that you should always consider the neighbor and make sure you don't harm him. We've spoken here of, you know, burning rubbish as well as burning something when you are cooking or things like those. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this. Similarly, when we are throwing out the rubbish, we should make sure that we don't throw it out into the neighbor's yard. Sometimes people just throw things out of the window without realizing it lands straight into somebody else's property. Sometimes people put the bin outside, not realizing that when the wind blows, the smell goes straight into the neighbor's door. What if it happened to you? And in fact, it might be happening to us from our neighbors. How do we feel? If we feel bad about it, let us make sure that we don't do it to others. So protect them from foul smells coming from your yard, and protect them from, you know, rubbish being thrown at towards their property from your property. This is something that Islam actually teaches. So we should not harm them in any way, and we should not even create a sense of fear within them regarding any evil or mischief on our part. The next point is, we need to be good towards our neighbors. And this includes, obviously, good character, good speech, good conduct, you know, as well as offering assistance whenever possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually said in one hadith that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam continued stressing goodness to the neighbor so much that I thought he would make him an heir. I thought that the neighbor would actually be made an heir of the estate after the death of his or her neighbor. This is how much Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam stressed goodness to the neighbor. Now, what we learn from this is the rights of a neighbor are indeed very, very important, because you live next to this person 24/7. If you are going to maintain a good relationship with a neighbor, then obviously it is a sign, as we have mentioned, of iman. Some people are actually forced to leave the particular home that they are living in to go to another area or another road only because of the fact that they have neighbors who are bad. Let us make sure that we are not those bad neighbors. And imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said a person is not a true believer if his neighbor is not protected from his harm. In that particular case, what if that neighbor had to actually shift away because of you or because of me? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from those. We also need to invite our neighbors towards Islam if they are non-Muslims. This is a right that we owe them, to be honest. And we should invite them firstly by our good character, our good conduct, our speech, our beautiful speech. As we said, you want to tell them something, if they are infringing your rights, it does not mean you must go out to them and start screaming and shouting and get upset and angry about everything. No, you should go to them, speak in a very dignified manner, and you can pass a comment or two to say, you know, Islam teaches us to speak very, very politely to our neighbors. And inshallah, that might even have an impact on them. But if you are going to scream and shout at them, there is nothing you can actually expect besides them getting the wrong picture of Islam because of your deeds and your actions. It might even drive them further away from Islam. May Allah protect us. And if it does do that, then obviously we will be guilty of driving people away from Islam. So we need to invite our neighbors towards Islam if they are non-Muslim. If they are Muslims and they happen to be engaging in that which is wrong, let us understand something. Firstly, it is prohibited to go out and mention to others what you noticed from your neighbors. The reason is, when they are your neighbors, you will notice much more than other people notice. So you need to cover it up, and you need to, in the case of evil, do something about it. Try and go to them, speak to them in the politest of ways, and highlight to them that, look, this is Islamically incorrect if they are Muslim. And this is something that, you know, Allah will not be happy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, if you know, barakah will be in your life, etc., etc. And we can speak to them very politely. This is something that is a duty. So we need to call those non-Muslims towards Islam. And when it comes to Muslims, we need to ensure that if they are engaged in something wrong, cover it up. Don't go and expose them to other people. Tomorrow, you would not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expose you. And at the same time, you should try to do something about it, speak to them. If it happens to be a teenage child who's, you know, up to a little bit of mischief, maybe you can speak to the parents, or sometimes ask your child, you know, to speak to that particular child, obviously if they are of the same sex, and the child could, you know, maybe get a few words across to that particular child. So we need to have a genuine feeling for our neighbors as well. The next right we are going to speak about is, we need to visit them at times of illness, and we need to help if necessary. And this is obviously for both Muslim as well as non-Muslim neighbors. And we should bear in mind the rules of hijab and the rules of, you know, covering up, the rules of separation in Islam. It is not befitting for a male to go out to his, you know, adult female neighbor who is not related in any way and, you know, say, no, I'm visiting because she is ill. That is actually incorrect Islamically. We may inquire about her health through the husband or through an adult child, and the same applies the other way around. But when it comes to the same sex, we should go out, we should go to them, and we should knock on their door and ask about their health, and we should, you know, try and help wherever necessary. We can even make dua for our Muslim neighbors to say, Ya Allah, cure them. For the non-Muslim neighbors, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide them towards Islam and soften their hearts towards Islam. So this is a right. The next right we are going to speak about is to sympathize with them at times of death or at times of sadness and difficulty, and again to help with the arrangement of burial in the case of death, and to help to try and solve their problems in the case of other difficulties. Now, this includes, as I mentioned before, the non-Muslims as well. However, we should bear in mind that attending a religious service for the funeral of non-Muslims is prohibited, and it is also disallowed for Muslims to make dua for forgiveness for the non-Muslims. This is why we said you should make dua rather for the guidance of those who are alive. When they have died, we don't make dua for their forgiveness because it is prohibited in the Quran. But what we can do, what we are allowed to do, is to sympathize. You know, you go next door and say, you know, we are sorry about what has happened, and comments similar to that. The next right is to conceal the faults of your neighbors. We've already spoken of that slightly. And as we said, as a neighbor, if you notice something from your neighbors, it is prohibited to go around and publicize it, because it is your duty to very politely and humbly remind them of what is correct and to cover up whatever evil you have seen. And as I said, as a neighbor, you will notice things that other people will not notice. The next right is, we should be happy upon their happiness and their good fortune. And jealousy is prohibited even when it comes to your own neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that jealousy eats away the good deeds of a person just as fire eats away dry wood. Now, when we say be happy upon their happiness, you know, there is a wedding next door. Be happy about it. You know, don't become jealous about what is going on there. If they have bought a nice car, mashallah, you know, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted them, and ask Allah to grant you as well. But don't let it be a point of sadness when they are happy. Similarly, when they are sad, it should also bring sadness to you, because you should try to minimize that sadness for them. In fact, when it comes to loss, it is the duty of a neighbor to try to minimize the risk of loss to his own neighbor. And what this includes is, you know, when they are absent, when they go on holiday, it is your duty as a neighbor, whether they've told you or not, to keep a little watch out on their property and their premises, so that you can actually fulfill the right of a neighbor and try your best to, you know, protect the property in their absence. The next right we are speaking about is, we are not allowed to erect a building. And this is a very important point. We are not allowed to erect a building higher than theirs in such a way that the passage of fresh air or light is blocked from their property. Subhanallah. This is the right of the neighbor. So if you would like to do this, it may only be done after their consent. And similarly, if there is a river or a pipe or some sort of water flow flowing through our property into theirs, it is prohibited to stop the flow of water or to use it all up in such a manner that the water does not even get to them and they have no benefit from it. So what we should understand is that when it comes to erecting a building, we should make sure that we are not blocking the light from the neighbors. This applies to trees as well. When there are trees in our property, always look at those trees and cut them if necessary. They must not be harming and affecting the neighbors in any way whatsoever. If there are trees in our property that are blocking the light, blocking the fresh air, you know, or being of great disturbance, sometimes, you know, the roots of the trees could actually go in and suck all the water that their borehole might be, you know, utilizing, or that might be being sucked up by that particular pump that is pumping the water up. If that is the case, we need to do something about those trees, because we do not want on the day of Qiyamah that, you know, we are held responsible for a tree that was growing in our yard that was blocking something from our neighbors. Similarly, the next right we will talk about is, whenever a delicious or an aromatic dish or meal is prepared, you know, a share should be sent to them. This is in order not to create a sense of sorrow within them or their children. Sometimes you can have the children next door, they will be saying, you know, the food from next door is smelling so nice, I wonder what they've cooked. And, you know, you are sitting there with everything being cooked, and, you know, how would it actually be digested if this is not going to be sent to them? The little children, let them taste, you know, a piece or two of what you've cooked, and alhamdulillah, they will also make dua for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you good health, inshallah. So it is the right of the neighbor that you send them a little bit of something that is prepared, especially when it is smelling so nice that it makes them wish May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to actually understand this particular right. Similarly, when it comes to our children, it is not right for us to allow our children to display their toys and their foodstuffs that are better than the neighbors, unless they are being shared or unless we have already sent similar toys or foodstuffs to their children. Subhanallah. Look at what Islam teaches us. Your children have beautiful toys, nice toys. If they are going to go and display those toys to the neighbors who might be underprivileged, you know, slightly, it will create a sense, you know, a feeling in the heart that is not a good feeling. So they either share the toys or you either buy another set of toys, similar toys for the neighbors as well, and wallahi, you will be rewarded for that. Even when it comes to foodstuffs, we should try and give our children that which, if the neighbors have to see, or if the children of the neighbors have to see, they will not be saddened in their hearts to say, you know what, we can't even afford this, and look at this child eating this and that. And it actually reminds me of some parents who, some mothers who send, you know, packed lunch with their children to school. Try not to pack that which is, you know, it will create a disturbance in the school. Everyone's going to look, oh, you know, this person has the latest imported chocolates from Hawaii or what have you. Because what will happen is the child might innocently eat it and then suffer stomach problems because the entire classroom was wishing for that particular chocolate and no one got it and everyone was watching the child eating. Would you like that to happen to your child? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. If you would really like them to eat it, let them do it privately in the house. Then obviously, when a neighbor needs to position a truss or a timber for his roof onto a common wall that is between the two properties, then he should be allowed to do so within a reasonable limit. And this also means that if a nail is knocked into a common wall, obviously here we are not speaking of separate walls, we are speaking of a common wall. If a nail is to be knocked into a common wall on the neighbor's side, then we should not object if it is for a valid reason. The last point we would like to mention is, you know, whenever you are selling or renting a property, the neighbor is to be given the first option in Islam. It is only when this neighbor refuses, either by not being interested at all, or if the neighbor cannot afford the amount that we are asking for, then only may we sell that particular property or rent it out to others. Because in Islam, the neighbor has the first refusal option. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually said, the neighbor has the greatest claim to the house or property next to him. So these are some of the rights that we actually owe our neighbors. Inshallah, we may mention a hadith or two in the next program regarding the virtue of being a good neighbor. And thereafter, inshallah, we will move on to some other rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand what has been said. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those neighbors who will be an asset to their neighbors both in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.